This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Has made fasting fard. What is fard? Fard is something that's obligatory. And it is based on, of course, the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, it means furida alaykum, means it's made obligatory upon you. Kutiba alaykum shay'an, if something is written for you, that means you have to do it. And so if you don't do it, then you're deserving of punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. And he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, made obligatory upon you. Before this, of course, the only thing that was obligatory in Medina during when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived was the fasting of Ashura, the fasting during the month of Muharram, the 10th of Ashura, and that was made obligatory actually before the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And then, of course, when the Ramadan came, then the fasting of Ashura became sunnah. And of course, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal, buni al Islam ala khams. Islam is based on five pillars: shahadat la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, the shahada of the la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, wa iqam al salah, and the establishing of the prayer, wa ita' zakat, wa hajj al bayt, wa sawm Ramadan, and the fasting of Ramadan. So this is of course also ijma, consensus amongst the scholars. Not a single scholar on the face of this earth who has any an ounce of knowledge knows that fasting is one of the acts that's considered obligatory. But believe it or not, you might think that, oh, of course it's obligatory, everybody knows. But there will come a time in which fasting will not be considered obligatory. Why? Because we will, the ummah will continue to follow the steps of the Ahl al-Kitab. And so the people of the book, fasting for them used to be obligatory. And then they started changing and changing and changing and changing to the point where it's not obligatory for them anymore. And they don't need, fasting is not even a major part of their religion. Somebody who wants to fast can fast. It's not like something that they have to do. And the only thing that's left is what? The only thing that's left for them is, you know, the belief. And even with that belief, they have shirk. And so there will come a time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Islam is just like a thawb, just like a piece of clothing. And as the more you wear it, the more it becomes tattered, becomes old. And there will come a time in which the people will not know about prayer. They will not know about, they will not know zakat or fasting and hajj and prayer. And anything. That means little by little, you'll start to lose and lose and lose it. And so the first thing that we'll lose in this ummah, anybody know what the first thing that will be lost in this ummah is? Al-khushu' fi salah. That the khushu' inside prayer will be lost. That means people will just pray, like only outer appearance only. And then you will come into a masjid and nobody will have khushu. The whole masjid, not a single person. And so that's, and then the last of which are the prayers. And then there will come a time in which nothing will be left. The people who, the Muslims at that time are the only ones who will say, the only thing they have is they will say, we heard our forefathers saying La ilaha illallah, and we say it. That means nothing's left of Islam except for La ilaha illallah. That's the only thing that's left. La ilaha illallah. So there will come a time, you might say, well, it's obligatory. There will come a time in which people will say it's not obligatory. Just a couple of years ago, if someone were to say, you know what, you know, hijab is not obligatory, what would you consider that person? Like, it's common sense. A woman has to cover herself, right? A woman has to cover herself. And now, what's come to the point? It's gotten to a point where they say, as long as you're modest, hijab is not obligatory. And you know what? This is being said by people who are very influential. I'm not saying people of knowledge, but people who are influential in status. You know, like if you hear some of the interviews. You hear some of the interviews in Saudi Arabia itself. when they were asked, like, this is the most influential person in Saudi Arabia is asked, like, what's the ruling on, you know, a woman covering up? And he says, as long as a woman is, you know, modestly dressed, that's fine. It's not mandatory. Like, hijab's not mandatory. Before it was, before, I remember growing up and being in, meaning when I was studying, that everyone had niqab. They covered their faces from niqab to nothing. Subhanallah. And then once people of influence, that's how you, people of influence make decisions. They make people get used to it. Then you lose it. Just like the Christians. When in the story of Ashab al-Kahf, the companions of the cave, what happened? قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِ مَسْجِدًا. The one who prevailed concerning their affair, they said, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِ مَسْجِدًا. We're going to make a masjid on their grave where they died. And so, of course, that's not permissible. And that was the beginning also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicating to us that this was those who prevailed, they were in the wrong. They were in the wrong. But because they were of position of influence, it affected, it caused a lot of shirk. And it was actually the first time that, saint worshipping and so forth became something that was very, very prevalent in Christianity. And so, it's made obligatory. And we say that nobody has differed over it at all whatsoever. But nowadays, in times of trials and tribulations, everything goes when it comes to the deen. Why? Because there's widespread ignorance. There's a lot of information, but there's widespread ignorance. And of course, there's an ijma. What is an ijma? An ijma is that there's no difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Another thing related to fasting. What is the ruling, or what are the conditions? The conditions that a person has to have before they can fast. Number one, meaning for them to be accepted, or if it becomes mandatory. First is that that person is a Muslim. Secondly, that person has reached the age of puberty. Third is that person is aqil. Aqil is someone who's sane, who's still conscious and they're sane. And qadir ala siyam, and one who is able to pray or able to fast. If they're able to fast, then they have to fast. But if they're not able to fast, then of course it's not obligatory upon them for that particular day. But if they can make it up, then they have to make it up. If they can't make it up, then they pay fidya. They pay an emplacement of the fasting. They feed the poor. And so, what kind of intention? What's the situation with intentions when it comes to praying or when it comes to fasting? Obligatory fast. Any obligatory fast, whether it's the fasting of Ramadan, or if you're making up a fast, you have to have the intention before Fajr. If you can't have the intention after Fajr. So let's say, for example, like right now, we are in the month of Sha'ban. You have a day to make up. And then you said, okay, I'm going to fast tomorrow. And you don't, you're thinking about, you forgot that you had a day to make up. So in the morning you wake up and you're eating sahur, right? And then Fajr comes, and then after Fajr you remember, oh wait, I have a day to make up. I have a day to make up. Okay, let me make this fast a makeup fast. Right? Can I do that? I had sahur in the morning, then Fajr came, and now I have to have a day to make up. But I forgot that I had a mandatory fast to make up. But then when I fasted, what intention did I have?
That's the intention.
Yeah, that's your intention, but what kind of intention? It's a sunnah fast. Because you forgot that you had an obligatory fast to make up. So you are thinking, okay, it's sunnah right now. I'm fasting because the month of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ fasted a lot. So you have the intention to fast, right? And your intention, you had suhoor, your fast is valid. but you did not make the intention that this was a makeup fast, which is obligatory, right? So it's an obligatory fast that you're making up that you missed last year. So Fajr has already passed. Now this fast cannot be counted as a makeup fast. Why? Because you can't change, you can't start an obligatory fast unless it's before Fajr. You still can't start the intention. But your fasting is still valid, but it's a sunnah fast. Do you understand? Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, la yasuma illa man ajma' as-siyam qabla al-fajr. Like nobody is allowed to, nobody, no fasting should be, there's no fasting unless one who has already made his conviction, his intention before Fajr. So if you don't have the intention before Fajr, then your fast is not valid for an obligatory fast. And there's a difference. If it's a sunnah fast, for example, if somebody has, let's say they didn't eat yet, they come home, they never intended to fast. They didn't intend to fast. You come home and you say, you come home and you find out your wife is fasting. And you say, do we have breakfast today? It's like, why don't you have breakfast with me? Let's have breakfast together. And then your wife says, no, I'm fasting today. Oh, you're fasting today? Oh, let me fast too then. Can I do that? Yeah, I can, because it's for a sunnah fast, right? This is sunnah, because I'm just coming out. I'm not making up any fast. Okay, my wife is fasting. I want to fast also. I didn't eat yet. I didn't drink yet. I just finished Fajr. I came home, and I was expecting to have breakfast. And since she's fasting, I'm going to fast too. Right? So you can do that, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he would pray Fajr and he would come home and he said, is there any food at home? And Aisha radiallahu anha would say, no, we don't have any food at home today. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that's the case then I'm fasting. So when it comes to the fasting of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said la siyama liman lam yubayyit as-siyam. There's no fasting for the one who doesn't have the intention during the night for the prayer and for the fast. And so that's one thing that we have to, you keep in mind, especially. But during the month of Ramadan, everybody knows it's an obligatory fast. So your suhoor is for obligatory fast. But I'm talking about like right now, and any other time, if you're fasting something, an obligatory fast. And what are obligatory fasts? A fast that you make up that's obligatory. So the ruling for a fast, if you're making up a fast that's obligatory, the same ruling applies. So let's say, for example, during Ramadan, let's say you say, okay, I'm hungry. I don't want to fast today. Can I eat? I'm hungry. I want to eat. And it's the month of Ramadan.
No.
You can't. So the same way with the obligatory fast, if you're making up that obligatory fast, then the same ruling applies. You can't break that fast. But if it's a sunnah fast, let's say you're fasting sunnah, and then your friend says, hey, let's go have lunch. And you're like, I'm fasting today, but yeah, okay, we'll have lunch. Let's go. I'll just break. I'll fast another day. Then you have the option because it's sunnah. When it comes to the sunnah, you have the option to break the fast. When it's obligatory fast, you don't have the option. The same thing happens. You're making up a fast during Ramadan. Your friend says, oh, let's go have lunch. Let's go have lunch. Let's go have some coffee. Then you're like, I haven't met him in a long time. Let me go have coffee with him. No, you can't. You don't have the option to break your fast. Why? Because you're making up an obligatory fast. And if you're making up an obligatory fast, then the same obligation applies to that particular fast as if you were to fast during the month of Ramadan.
So which one is do a sunnah fasting and then your friend come and ask you to go and have lunch?
The Prophet said, which one's better? Okay.
Have lunch with him or say, I feel like I fast?
Yeah.
Which one is more virtual?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mutatawwi, amiru nafsi." A person who is fasting sunnah or who is doing something that's not mandatory, not obligatory, is amiru nafsi. He's the leader of himself. That means he has full control. over what he wants. Now, which one is better? If he doesn't want to join, it's fine. If he wants to, if he says, you know, I'm fasting, it's also permissible for him. And if he says, you know, okay, I'll break my fast. Now, as for which one is better, well, every situation is different. It really depends. Let's say, for example, this is a friend or this is an aunt or uncle, and it's considered enjoining of relations, right? It's better to, hey, you know what? I haven't seen them a long time. This is really a good opportunity. Then, of course, that becomes something now that's virtuous, right? That's virtuous. But if it's somebody every day you have coffee with, that's different. You know, it's like, keep on fasting. You have coffee with him every day. Tomorrow, go have coffee with him. But maybe this is an opportunity you don't have every single day, and your uncle is calling you to have coffee. It's different than your friend who has coffee, you have coffee every single day, right? And so that's connected to, you know, the virtues of enjoining relations. And then that would take precedence based on that, because now you're in a position where both are okay. Wallahu ta'ala. So, the month on Ramadan. Is it permissible for, do you have to have the intention of obligatory fast every single day? Like, during the month of Ramadan, like, I know this is the month of Ramadan, and all my fast is going to be obligatory, all my intentions is going to be obligatory. Wallahu a'lam, the stronger opinion seems to be that as long as you know that it's an obligatory fast, you make the first intention that's obligatory the first day, everyone knows it's Ramadan, and then inshallah, the rest is okay, unless it's broken up. What do I mean by broken up? Broken up means, let's say you became sick. You became sick, then you stop. Right? You stop fasting for 3 or 4 days. And now the fourth, fifth day, you're thinking about it now. Like, should I fast or not? Because how do I feel? Like, I think I feel better now, let me fast. So if it's broken up and then you're starting over again, then you have to renew that intention of the before the night. So, but if it's not, then it's continuous. It's something that you continue, and then your intention already know. You already know you wake up for suhoor and so forth. But like, for example, let's say you broke up your fast, okay? 4 days, you didn't fast because you were sick. On the fifth day, because you're sick, you're like, you know, and then you wake up in the morning, right? It's Fajr time already, right? It's Fajr time already in the morning. Say, so how do I feel here? How do I feel? Do I feel like, am I able to fast? Then you say, you know what? I think I feel okay. I'm gonna fast. When did you start your fast?
After Fajr.
You started your fast intention after Fajr, right? Because you broke it up for the last 4 days. And on the fifth day, you're trying to decide. So you didn't fast the beginning, even though you didn't eat, but you didn't fast with an intention of fasting because your fasting was broken up. But if you had the intention, let's say already, the whole month, right? The whole month, and you've been fasting, and then all of a sudden you wake up a little bit late, and it's Fajr, you miss your suhoor. You miss your suhoor. Now can you say, okay, wait, I can't fast. Right? I can't fast because what? Because I didn't have the intention before. No, you have to fast. Your intention is continuous. You always fast. You never stopped. Yesterday you fast. Today you fast also. So even if you woke up a little bit late, you already had the intention to fast. But when you were sleeping and you didn't have the intention to fast because you were sick the last 4 days, when you woke up, there was no intention to fast. The intention came when you said, oh, I think I feel better now. I think I feel better now. Let me fast, right? So you think you feel better, but it's already Fajr. So that's why that breakup here changes the person's intention and the continuity of that intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And so one intention, inshallah, it's already considered valid. If you want to, you know, anytime you get up for sahur, that's already the intention that, you know, that we already are making, inshallah, already. So, okay. If a person fasts, I wake up, right, and you don't know what time it is. You don't know what time it is. And you know that you woke up, maybe you look at the alarm clock or something happened, like overnight, maybe you set the alarm clock, but then the electricity went out, or you forgot to set the alarm clock, right, and so you wake up. You don't know what time it is. And it feels like you're a little bit late, right? Feels like, and you don't know. And you know how sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, you think you're late. Or you think it's Fajr time already. Or you don't know if it's Fajr time already. And you can, you have your phone, right? If you look at your phone, then you'll find out what time it is, whether it's Fajr already. You think you're looking, you're like, maybe it's Fajr already. But you know, I need to drink water. Like I ate something very, very salty. So what do? You go like this and you say, you know, I'm not gonna look at my phone. because if I look at my phone, there's a possibility that I won't be able to drink. Okay, so I'm not gonna look at my phone. You have the glass of water. I'm gonna drink this glass of water, and then I'm gonna look at my phone. Okay, because if I look at my phone, then I'll know for sure. I might not be able to drink. So I'm not going to look at my phone. All right. So is my fast valid? It depends. It depends. It depends on what time it is. So you drink, okay, if you drink, after you drink and you look at it and it's not Fajr yet, then your fast is okay, that's fine. Right? Alhamdulillah. But if you pick it up and it's Fajr time, then your fast is not valid. Why? Because you had the opportunity to find out. Right? But you didn't check. And then so because you didn't check, your ignorance here is based on your own negligence. You didn't want to check. You didn't want to look. And that's why the same way with the Qibla. You're like, you don't care, I'm just gonna pray, Alhamdulillah, you know. And then if it's right, it's right, Alhamdulillah. But if it's wrong, you have to repeat your prayer because you didn't make an effort to find the Qibla. But what if, you know how sometimes you have the wrong settings, right? Especially right now, you know, with the time change moving forward and you forget. And you're like, oh wait, you thought you still have an hour, right? You thought you still had an hour, but you don't have an hour because it moved, right? It moved now, and so if it's already moved, just in case, you know, I mean, not now, but you know, if it's in the wrong time, right now, I think we're gonna add an hour, right?
Well, yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. So Fajr will be at.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Coming Sunday.
Yeah, so even later. It's pushing it even later. But in any case, let's say you thought you had time. And so you eat and drink and then you find out, wait, it was wrong. But it wasn't negligence on your part, right? Or sometimes you're eating and drinking, you have blackout curtains and you think, you know, it's not bright outside. And then you realize, but you didn't do it on purpose. It was by mistake. You thought you could still eat. Then your fast is still valid. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ. Eat and drink until it is clear to you. Notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until it's clear to you. That means until you know for sure. Just continue eating and drink until it's clear to you. But what if it's not clear to you? You made a mistake. That means it wasn't clear to you. So if it's a mistake that you made because of one reason or another, then and it's not intentional, right? It's a mistake. Then your fast is still valid. It's just like when you're eating and drinking, when you forget. If it's not out of your own negligence, then you can still continue fasting. Another thing, is it permissible for us to just look at the calculations only, to follow calculations, or do we have to also see it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Suma li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi." Can we do calculations like astronomical calculations to fast? The stronger opinion seems to be that somebody spotting the moon or seeing the moon. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi." Fast when you see it, and then break your fast when you see it. That means the end of Ramadan and the beginning of Ramadan starts with the sighting of the crescent. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions used to compete with each other. They used to, كان الناس يتراءون الهلال, Just like Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, people used to fight, used to compete with each other to see who would be able to see the crescent. And so that was a sunnah, because that was something that they were looking forward to. And they were looking forward and they wanted to see it. And so they were competing with each other concerning that. And so one last thing, inshallah, before we end. Who are the people who are allowed to break their fast? The people who are allowed to break their fast are, number one is a person who's sick. Who's sick, and what kind of sickness? A person who's sick, and it is, he will be harmed by that sickness. You understand? He will be harmed. In other words, if he fasts, it'll prolong his sickness. Or if he fasts, it'll cause him to be more sick. You know, more sick. And or if he's unable to fast because he's sick, then of course a person who's sick is not doesn't have to fast. Because some people, even when they're a little bit hungry, you know, when some people when they get hungry, you get hungry, like they get a little bit hungry in the afternoon, they get headache. Right? Are you allowed to break your fast if you like, you know, your that hunger that you get headache? And or somebody who who's used to drinking coffee, right? Who's used to drinking coffee. And they might say, okay, if I don't drink, at the end of the day, towards the end of the day, because they're used to drinking coffee a lot, they might have a headache. Is it permissible for them to break their fast because of that headache? We say that if it's something that is weakness or hunger that normally causes this, and it's not something that is... that will harm that person's health-wise, then they can continue. Then they should fast. And especially, like, that's why those people who are used to drinking coffee, that they have to, everybody knows themselves better, right? They have to stop drinking coffee before, like right now, so they get themselves used to it, right? Right now, or, start drinking less of it. But everybody knows themselves. Like some people, they drink coffee, like in the morning, I drink for suhoor, and that's it. It won't bother me. That's enough for me for the whole day, right? And you're not gonna get any headache for some people, right? And so in this case, if a person knows that they're going to get headaches, and it's good, it's very extreme, unless they take care of it before, then they have to take care of it before right now. Because the fasting is obligatory, and by not doing so, then it's gonna cause you to also break your fast. And so, but if it comes to the point where if it's extreme, then if that person it's really extreme, it's difficult for them. If they eat or if they stop fasting, then it helps. Then we say that it's still permissible, but they still have to make it up. One way or another, you're gonna have to make it up, right? But if you can fast and it's not harmful for your health, then it's okay, inshallah. So then you should fast. Another person is a person who is traveling. And one mistake that some people make is that they intend to fast or they intend to travel, but if you're not a traveler yet, you don't have the permission to break your fast yet. What do I mean by that? Let's say today I have a flight. Today, this is month of Ramadan. Today I have a flight at 12 o'clock. Because I know that I have a flight at 12 o'clock, I can break my fast, right? So I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't need to fast today. I don't need to fast today. And so I'm not gonna fast. You're still home, you're not a traveler yet. If you only intended to travel, but you're not a traveler yet. Once you're a traveler, then you can start, then you can break your fast. Do you understand? Why? Because what can happen between that time? Let's say you intended to travel, and then you break your fast. You're still home, and then the flight gets canceled until 6 o'clock, or canceled or delayed to 7 o'clock. That's like after already. Then what have you done? You never travel, right? And you broke your fast without the rukhsa of traveling, because you didn't travel. You only intended to travel, and so in this case, you have to fast at least until you go to the airport. Once you get to the airport, then you consider a traveler, and then once you're a traveler, then you can break your fast. Because if you do so ahead of time, sometimes, like I said, that I know many times in Ramadan, sometimes I travel in Ramadan and I'm thinking, it depends, you know. If I'm traveling and it's difficult, usually, I'll fast, you fast anyways. But also, is it better to fast? when you're traveling or not. It also depends on your situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. And sometimes there are certain during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the companions were traveling, nobody would be fasting except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. And they would be the only ones fasting. And anyone who broke their fast, nobody said anything about the other person, right? So all of them broke their fast. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa min al-birr as-siyam fi as-safar." Laysa min al-birr. It's not of piety. It's not considered additional piety if you fast during when you're traveling. That means, you know how some people they're proud. They say, "Look, you know, I'm traveling, man, and I'm fasting." Like, it's not a point to boast about. It's not a point to boast about. Allah made it easy for you. Like, Allah makes, if it's difficult for you, then break your fast. So what should you do? If you want to fast, you can fast. If you want to break your fast, you can break your fast. Which one is better? It depends on your situation. If it's easy for you to fast, then continue to fast. Because especially right now, sometimes it's not difficult to fast when you're traveling. Traveling isn't as strenuous as before. You're still allowed to break your fast because you're a traveler. But which one is better? If it's difficult for you, then it's better for you to break your fast. If you find it's difficult for you, then you break your fast. If it's not difficult, then don't break your fast. And so, depending on the situation and circumstances. It's the same way when you're traveling, when you're combining prayer. You should never combine your prayers unless you feel like you need to. Like, you don't, by default, it's best to pray each prayer at its time. Even when you're traveling, Dhuhr during Dhuhr, Asr during Asr, Maghrib during Maghrib, Isha during Isha. That's the default. If you find that there's some difficulty, you're going to be busy in the afternoon, for example. Okay, let me pray Maghrib during Isha time, or I'm going to be busy tonight. And Maghrib time comes, let me pray it. Maghrib with Isha. Or Dhuhr time comes, let me pray Dhuhr with Asr. Because I have a lot of things to do this afternoon, right, when you're traveling. But if you don't have it, you're just going to be in the hotel, then it's best to pray each prayer at its time. Qasr, of course, is all, what I'm talking about, jam. Qasr is always better to shorten your prayer. You should never pray full when you're traveling. It's always best to shorten, but I'm talking about jam. Jam, it's best not to do it. Combining, it's best not to do. And the same way with fasting, when you are tired, when you're traveling and you find it's difficult for you, then break your fast. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. And that which is easy for you, which is permissible, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for you. But if it's easy for you anyways, you know, when you're traveling, it's easy for you, then continue to fast. For me, for example, I'd rather fast when I'm traveling, when it's not hard. Because I don't like making up, I don't like to make up my fast. It's always easier to fast during the month of Ramadan than outside of Ramadan. Yeah, for some people. So everybody's different. So inshallah, we'll end it right here, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefits from that which has taught us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, anyone have a question, inshallah? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, let's say when you say Eid, how many days is Eid? Right after Eid, just the next day, I start Shawwal.
Yeah, Eid is one day only. That's for after Ramadan. The Eid al-Adha, of course, then you have Ayyam al-Tashriq also. And Ayyam al-Tashriq are considered Eid also. That's the 3 days after Eid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayyam al-Tashriq, Ayyam al-Akl wa Shurb wa Dhikrillah. Ayyam al-Akl wa Shurb wa Dhikrillah. These are the days of eating and drinking and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Eid al-Adha is 4 days. Eid, then the 3 days that follow, you're not allowed to fast. Well, no, that's Eid al-Adha. But Ramadan, you can fast your 6 days afterwards right away if you want. Yeah. Anyone else have any other questions? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.